This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Give him a clap offering if you're grateful for everything he has done. Just continue to clap this morning. The song says we lift your name. It says your name be glorified.
Your name is high.
Your name is high.
We
No other name, no other name like yours. Your name is high, your name is high. Be glorified. You are great, you are great, greatly to be praised. Your name is high, your name is high. Be glorified. No other name, no other name, no other name like yours. Your name is high, your name is high. Be glorified. You are great, you are great, greatly to be praised. We lift your name. Y'all got it? It's an easy song. Come on. As we love, as we love on you. Receive our love.
Receive our love.
Receive our love.
Receive our love.
As we shout your praise.
Receive our praises.
As we shout your name, receive our praises, receive our praise. Your name is high, your name is high. Be glorified. No other name, no other name, no other name like yours. Your name is high,
your name is high.
Be glorified. You are great, you are great, greatly to be praised. Your name is high,
your name is high.
Be glorified. No other name, no other name, no other name like yours. Your name is high,
your name is high.
Be glorified. You are great, you are great, greatly to be praised. Your name is high. Glorified. No other name, no other name, no other name like yours. Your name is high,
your name is high. Glorified.
You are great, you are great.
Ready to
come on, salvation. Your name is high,
your name is high.
Be glorified. No other name, no other name. No other name like yours. Your name is high.
Your name is high.
Be glorified.
Be glorified.
You are great. You are great. Greatly to be praised. Your name is high.
Your name is high. Be glorified.
No other name. Come on.
No other name.
No other name like yours. Your name is high.
Your name is high. Be glorified.
You are great. You are great. Great. One more time. Come on, somebody say, your name is high.
Your name is high.
Be glorified. No other name. No other name. No other name like yours. Your name is high.
Your name is high.
Glorified. You are great. You are great. Greatly to be praised. We lift your name. We lift your name. We lift your name. We lift your name. Your name. just clap your hands and say, oh, 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 days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. Oh yes, these are the days of your servant Moses, a righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, till we are the laborers, the desert are crying, prepare ye the way. Behold, he comes.
Behold, he comes.
Riding,
riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call,
you better lift your voice.
Give us jubilee.
Out of Zion's hill,
out of Zion's hill, salvation.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant, a Moses, a righteousness being restored.
And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and war, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord.
Behold, he comes!
Behold,
behold, he comes. He's riding. He's shining. At the trumpet. Come on and lift your voice. Year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill. Behold, he comes. Everybody just clap your hands. If God has been good to you, come on and clap your hands. If God has been faithful, come on and clap.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
If you believe it,
there's no God like Jehovah.
Do you know it?
There's no God like Jehovah.
Has he done it?
There's no God like Jehovah.
No God. No God.
No God.
No God.
No God.
No God.
No God.
No God.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
He's greater than Buddha. He's greater than Allah. He's greater than Muhammad. He rose from the dead. He has all power. Do you know it? Do you believe it? Come on and tell it.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Come on and raise your voice.
Come
on and declare.
There's
no God. There's no God in all the earth. All the world. We declare it, we proclaim it, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Samuel, Jehovah Jireh,
there's no God like
Jehovah Jireh,
there's no God like
Jehovah Rohi,
there's no God like
Jehovah Nisi,
there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like
come
Jehovah.
On and declare it.
There's no God like
come
Jehovah.
On and proclaim it.
There's no God like
there's
Jehovah.
No Goliath.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Riding on the cloud, come on,
shining like the sun.
At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion, come on, come on.
Behold, he
comes.
Riding on the cloud,
shining,
shining like the sun.
At the trumpet,
at the trumpet call,
lift your voice.
It's the year of Jubilee.
Out of Zion's hill.
Out of Zion's hill, salvation.
Come on and declare.
Behold, he comes. Riding on the clouds. Shining like the sun. At the trumpet. Call,
lift your voice.
It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation.
Come on, give this great God a clap offering this morning. Come on and give this great God a clap offering this morning. The song says, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Come on and glorify this great God this morning. Hallowed be your name, mighty God. All glory, all honor be unto your name. We understand this morning that it's not about us, but it's all about you. Heavenly Father, we welcome you. All glory, all power. Come on and just say good things unto this great God this morning. Just hallow the name of God this morning. Just say, my God, you are a champion. You're a God that has never lost a battle. You're a God that stands on my behalf. You are mighty in battle. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the Lion in the tribe of Judah. You are the King of all kings. You are Jehovah Sabaoth, my deliverer. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Rohi. You are Jehovah Shalom, my peace. I hallow your name this morning. You deserve our praise. You deserve our glory. Come on, say, just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Hey.
There's nothing worth more. No thing can compare. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. Come flood this place. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, God.
Nothing can compare.
Gentlemen,
you provide the spirit,
says, I will open up his heart. And I will open up his heart. Fill me up.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
Fill me up. I'm tired of running on empty. Lord, fill me up. Let there be a renewal, God. Something has to be different about the presence of God. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, fill me up. For me and my family. Lord, fill me up.
Fill me up.
Fill me up. Till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up.
Fill me up till I overflow.
Today we're starting a sermon series that I'm not exactly sure in what order is going to follow. No, I have the sequence for me, but we're going to have some interruptions along the way. But it's okay. It's okay. We just keep our minds together and keep our minds focused on the Word of God, and God himself will teach us the things that we need to know. But before I go forward this morning, I want to especially thank someone that has meant a lot to me over the years and continues to mean a lot to me. You know, a lot of times you see somebody, you don't know them too well, you know, because you just see them from a distance. You know, there are some of us that I think we are good people, you know, but the people that live with you will say, ah, pastor, you don't know what you are talking about, you know, but this woman of God has been with me for 16 years. You know, we celebrated our 16th year wedding anniversary on Friday. You know, and I'm surprised. I'm not tired. In fact, I'm not even near tired. You know, everything is new every morning. It's new every day, but I really want to say I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being there. Friends, and I'm not, this is not a public show. It means a lot to me because you see, how far you will go in life may be determined by the person you marry. Not because you are not a serious person, but if you marry the wrong husband or the wrong wife, it can cost you a lot, a lot. And I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged when I see people like Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Laditon that have been going this journey 35 years, you know, and the man is still in love. We were on our way to Mexico. He couldn't just mind his own business that morning. He had school to attend to, but he had to come and waylay us on the way because he needed to see his wife very briefly. You know, so it's very encouraging. We have Brother Moses. I saw him just now. Where is he? Brother Moses Reed. They celebrated 34 years of marriage last weekend. Praise God. You know, it tells us that whatever we are hearing in the news, God is still doing great things. God is still doing great things, and he will do great and mighty things in your life in the name of Jesus. The series that we're starting today is simply titled, Knowing God. Knowing God. I have seen that a lot of people know about God, but they really don't know God. And some think they know God, and they still don't. Is my slide ready? The PowerPoint slide? You know, so many people think they know God. And if you are a good listener and you sit down and you pay attention to people and you listen to them, you hear them talk, you know they don't know the first thing about God. They know church. They have been around church for so long. So we are the ones that are doing this. We are the ones that are doing that. We are the ones that are making things happen. That statement alone clearly shows you don't know God. Because what can any man accomplish in his own by himself if God has not helped him? Amen? So many people think they know God, but they really don't know God. You don't have the slides? Many people, they think they know God, but they don't know God. My wife can tell you certain things. In fact, by my body movement alone, she can tell you what is going on. Why? Because we have spent time together. She knows me very well. She knows me very well. There are Sundays that I will, after the service, she will pull me and say, "What's the problem?" And I, "There's nothing. Nothing is the problem." So, "Tell me, what is the problem? I saw you were laughing and happy, but I could see that there is something bothering you in your mind." And 80 to 90% of the time, she's right. You know, because I do what I have to do. There's no point carrying your problem. You know, some people, once you see that, you know, this is problem coming. You know, they wear the problem like a cloak. You know, it's weighing them down like this, the problem. The weight is just carrying them like that. So once you see them, you know, this somebody is carrying some heavy load. You know, but how many people that have seen you carrying heavy load have relieved you of that load? You know, where it's one thing for people to sympathize with you, it's another thing for them to empathize with you. With sympathy, they say, oh, what a shame. Ah, this devil is wicked, though. Ah, look at what devil has done to you. That's it. They can't help you further than that. But when people empathize with you, they can put themselves in your shoes, and then they can begin to think of solutions for you. And only God can send such people to you and bring those kind of people into your life. You know, so when I say we really don't know God, this is a quiz that will show you what I mean by that. So, he's coming to get it. Let's go to the next slide, please. Say, there is a story about a New England teacher who quizzed a group of college-bound high school juniors and seniors on the Bible. Next. The quiz preceded a Bible as literature class. He planned to teach at Newton High School in Massachusetts, generally considered of one of the better public schools in the nation. Not in Massachusetts, in the nation as a whole. Among the most unusual answers from his students were, next slide. Just wait. Sodom and Gomorrah were answered. Next, lovers. This is the response of the students. I hope you know what Sodom and Gomorrah is. Okay. Next slide, please. Say, Jezebel was Ahab's what? Anybody? Okay, somebody said wife. Anybody else? Any other takers? Eh? Husband? Okay. Any other takers? Shubomi? What you got? You're just messing around. Okay, next. Donkey. That was the student's response. So Jezebel was Ahab's donkey. For those that don't know, he's the wife. She's the wife of Ahab. Next slide, please. The four horsemen appeared. Hold on. This one is, and I don't want to hear from pastors. The four horsemen, which four horsemen was talked about in the book of Revelation? The four horsemen will appear where? In the Apocalypse. But here's what they said. Next. On the Acropolis. The Acropolis is in Greece. It's one of those historical sites, ancient Greek sites. Next slide, please. Next. Okay, I need somebody to answer this. The New Testament Gospels were written by, okay, their names? Paul. The Gospel, not Epistle, Gospel, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Tim? No. Tim didn't write the gospel. Anybody else? They wrote an epistle to him. But here's what they wrote. Next. Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Next slide, please. I think that's the last one. Next, please. Oh, Eve was created by... Next. It was created from an apple. She was created from an apple. Next, I think that's the last one. Oh, Jesus was baptized by... Oh, there's two more. Okay, yes, answer, by Moses. Next, let's go quickly. Say, what was Golgotha? Okay, stop this one. Golgotha. Somebody say, I don't know. Wave. He said, I don't know. Golgotha, I don't know. Okay, thank you for your honesty. That's where Jesus was crucified. Let's go. Golgotha was the name of the giant that slew the apostle David. This answer took the misinformation prize. It was just classic, you know, and was given by a fellow who was academically in the top 5% of the graduating class. You ask yourself, so what's the lesson in this? Listen to this. Listen. When you pay attention to the response of those students, you will realize that those students were not totally, completely ignorant. They knew something. They just didn't have the complete picture. They knew about the apocalypse, but the word that came to mind was Acropolis. They knew about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and something John. So they made up something for themselves. Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. They knew Eve and apple, there was something that happened in there somewhere. So when they asked them, Eve was created, they said, from an apple. It is a dangerous thing to have half knowledge. It is a dangerous thing to know some and not get the whole picture. One of the reasons we have so much problem in the church today is because we have a lot of people that know something but don't know the whole story. The Bible says concerning the children of Israel in Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. Hosea chapter 7, you can shut this down. Hosea 7 and 8. Hosea 7 and 8 says, and I read from the New Living Translation. It says, the people of Israel mingle with godless foreigners, making themselves as worthless as a half-baked cake. Keywords there, worthless, half-baked. Worthless, half-baked. The Message Bible puts it this way. It says, Ephraim mingles with the pagans, dissipating himself. Ephraim is half-baked. And it is very, very important for you and I in the age and in the time that we live in that we have the true knowledge of God. Because Hollywood has since figured out that they can make a lot of money from Christians. So now they make movies about the Bible that has the story upside down. And when you watch it, because you are so, many people are so logical in their minds, they say, oh, now that makes sense. You just believed a big fat lie. You just believed a big fat lie. There are many ignorant people in, okay, don't let me say ignorant. There are many semi-illiterate in the church when it comes to the word of God. They know something. They can throw words, Christian words, Christian lingo. They can throw them in the air, but they have absolutely no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of God. In the church today, you hear all kinds of things. And because people have hung around believers for so long, they can speak like believers. They can almost dress like believers. They can almost walk like believers. And you will confuse them for believers. In fact, there are many in the church even today that believe they are saved. They believe they know the Lord, but they have believed a lie. And that is why we are starting this series about knowing God. Friends, knowledge is very, very important. Have you had a story that was half told or half understood before, and it was a total twist of the real thing that happened? They saw something. There's a show that my children show me at home, and my wife shows me too, showing how we don't pay attention to our environment. What's that show? Brain Games. When you get home, look for it. It's on Netflix. Brain Games. Brain Games. There was a scene of a crime, you know. Some people were watching an activity, and then to the side of them, because we all have peripheral vision, even though I'm looking at her, but I'm seeing my wife. Is that not so? I'm looking at her, but I'm seeing my wife with my peripheral vision. You know, so there was something that was, they were focused on, they were looking at what was going on here, and then a crime happened to their right. And then they gathered all of these people that were in the vicinity of the crime, and they began to ask them questions. And not one of them got it right. A young man came and snatched a lady's bag. The lady was talking to an older gentleman that had a cap on, you know, and the guy took off running with the bag. Someone said the old man slapped the young lady, and they began an argument. That was what they saw. They knew something. They saw something, but they didn't have the whole story. So they began to make up their own stories. And what they were showing in that exercise is that when people don't have the full story, they will add fillers for themselves, which is what many people have done in the church today. So they know a little about God, and they have put fillers to make a complete story for themselves. And by the time they present what they got, they don't look like God. They don't look like Christians. They don't look like the devil. They don't. It's just a monster that you have because it looks like nothing. This is why it is very, very important for you and I, children of God, that we really know this God for ourselves. That we really know this God for ourselves. I asked myself a question. I said, why is knowledge important? Why is knowledge important? And I put five reasons here why knowledge is very important. Like you know, it is commonly said, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge empowers you. When you have information about something, when you have knowledge about something, you are what? You are empowered. You know what to do. You know where to go. You know the right questions to ask. You are empowered. When you don't have the full story, when you don't know the details of the assignment that has been given to you, then you'll be dragging your feet and you'll be stuttering. You are not confident. You are not confident. Number one, knowledge is important because knowledge is power. Knowledge empowers you. Number two, you need knowledge because knowledge will give you the right perspective. Somebody say right perspective. Say perspective like you mean it. Knowledge, if you have true knowledge, it will give you the right perspective about life or about any situation you're faced with. In Psalm 103 from verse 1 through 5, Psalm 103 from 1 to 5, the Bible says, David said, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103, we don't need to train anybody on the computer right now, please. Psalm 103 from verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. You know why? He said, forget not his benefits. Who forgives all thy iniquities? You see, David understood. He knew that it was God that forgave his sins. And because of that, it gave him the right perspective. He said, therefore, because he forgives my sins, because he heals my diseases, because he redeems my life from destruction, because he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies and satisfies my mouth with good things. He said, therefore, so you must bless the Lord. Knowledge gave him the right perspective. When you have not being able to acknowledge the things that God has done in your life, you will complain. You will murmur. You will murmur. 8 years ago, I complained and I murmured because my immediate situation was so hard, was so terrible. It was so bad. I said, Lord, I give it all up. I don't have to do this anymore. I love you. I will serve you on my own, but I don't want to do this anymore. You know why? I lacked knowledge. I lacked knowledge. And then a man of God came and preached a sermon and called it, Why We Don't Give Thanks. And in his sermon, he said, the reason we don't give thanks is because our memories are very short. We forget very quickly the things that God has done. Knowledge will give you the right perspective in life. The way you look at yourself is based on what you know. Amen? If you have the right kind of information about yourself, about your life, you will look at yourself and your life very differently. Even though your immediate circumstances may be rough, but you will still see yourself differently. Joseph, when he was in the house of Potiphar, a slave, he saw himself differently. When they offered him free sex, he said, how can I do this evil against God? That's a man that knew that there was a purpose and a plan for his life. When Satan came to Jesus, guess what he said to Jesus? He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. I know who I am. I'm not confused that I'm the Son of God. So I don't need to prove anything to you. I don't care what you say. If you say, I know your name, your last name is Sonny, but you are not the son of Mr. James, Sonny. Oh. If I argue with you, there's something wrong with me. I mean, if I have a conversation with you on that, there's something terribly, maybe I'm hungry, maybe I'm, I don't know, something must be wrong with me. Because I know the son of who I am. Or you see my mom, you say, ah, this cannot be your mother. This cannot be your mother. I just walk away from you. Whatever you are drinking, you need to go change the drink to another drink. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Knowledge will give you the right perspective about life and about your life. Knowledge will give you focus. Knowledge will give you focus. You know, many people are trying so many things today. They are running here, they're running there, they're running there. Oh, there's a new church down the road. They run there. Oh, there's a new miracle center down the other place. They run there. There's a new something. Oh, what is moving market now is IT. They are just all over the place. You know why? They lack knowledge. When you know what your call in life is, when you know what your vocation in life is, you will stay there and you will do what God has helped you to do. I've known Brother Debo and Sister Kweju now 12 years this year. Since I've known them, they have been nurses. They are not trying to be engineers. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are not trying to be IT specialists. At least I would not have that conversation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because they know. They know. They know. They know. They know. Since we came to San Antonio, my wife started her journey to become a nurse. And she's been a nurse now 8 years. A registered nurse. 8 years. She's not trying to be a pilot. I'm trying. But I sort of left that. I said, well, maybe God will buy me an airplane and he will come with a pilot. If I came to America sooner than I came, I would have joined the Air Force and been a pilot. I just have a fascination. If I see an aircraft, just pray that while I'm preaching, the plane is not flying. I might just hang out here and start preaching from this corner. Knowledge will give you focus in life. You won't be running around trying to be who you are not. You won't be running around trying to be like somebody else because you know who you are. You know what you are called out to do. You know why you are here. You are not confused. Knowledge will take confusion away from your life. Knowledge will also give you direction in life. Knowledge will free you in life. The Bible says, the truth that you know will set you free. The truth that you know will what? Will set you free. So five things, important things to note about knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge gives you perspective. Knowledge gives you focus. Knowledge helps you with direction in life, and knowledge gives you freedom. Today, we are just introducing the whole topic. And when we are talking about knowledge, the knowledge that I'll be focusing on, I'm not just focusing on knowledge as in general knowledge, I'm focused on the knowledge of God, knowing God. And as we progress in the series, we're going to talk about the consequence of knowing God. We're going to talk about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What is the Trinity? And God will help us remove all the confusion from that in the name of Jesus. So today, as we begin, we open to John chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 6 to 10. John chapter 14, from verse 6 to 10. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you will have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, and you can tell from his tone, it was a disappointment. He was disappointed. He said, have I been with you so long? And yet, you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The premise we're going to take off as we introduce the subject today is, how can I know God? How can I know God? And we'll just talk about three things very quickly. We'll conclude and then we'll close for today. The number one way for you and I to know God is very simple. It's by establishing a relationship with him. Amen. The people that know me, for example, will tell you, you know, when you want to serve coffee or you want to serve tea and all of these things, when you put creamer to taste, you know, and sugar to taste, it means you are really taking care of the person. But the ones that know me, the ones that have relationship with me, they know I don't take milk. So no matter how tasty, expensive, and wonderful the milk is, they know he doesn't take milk. Generally, people have milk in their coffee, yes? Absolutely. Generally, people do. You say you want to give me something special, you buy me ice cream. You just bought the wrong gift. Praise the Lord. There's something about relationship that gives you fresh perspective about the one you are in relationship with. Unless you have a relationship with a person, there are certain things you will never know about them. And the deepest relationship we have here on earth, I'm not talking Godward now, is a husband and wife relationship. You know, when the husband is huffing and puffing outside sometimes, the one that knows him very well will just be smiling. So if everybody is excited, look at the wife. If she's not, there's something you don't know. There's something missing. Why? Because there is a relationship. There is a relationship. There are certain things God will never reveal to you if he doesn't have a relationship with you. That is why, you know, the song that we love to sing, very good song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. You just made all of that up for yourself. You know, you can't say you are my friend and say I call you friend. When did I call you friend? When did you hear him call you as a person friend? We need a relationship with the Master. And it starts with giving our lives to him as Lord and Savior. You know, the Savior part is not a problem for many people. It's the Lordship that is a problem. Because the one that is your Lord is just that word, Lord, suggests that he has authority and power over your life to dictate what you do and what you don't do. If he doesn't, he's not your Lord. He may be your Savior, but he's not your Lord. And the number one way to know him is by having a relationship with him. That is why when Jesus came, what did he do? The Bible says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, Mark 3 and 14, you can read from like 12 to 15 when you get home. He said from Mark 3, 14, he says he ordained 12 that they might be with him. You know what he was seeking? He was seeking a relationship. Because he knew in that relationship, they would get to know him. And he would get to know them. The number one thing God is seeking from you and I, that we may know him, is a relationship. When Jesus came, he didn't just come and then prayed, laid hands on the disciples or the apostles and said, go and do miracles. No. He said the number one thing he sought, he said he ordained 12 that they should be with him. That they should be with him. And having known him and having a relationship with him, then he can send them forth. Amen. Amen. And you can see that there are many people that spend time with you that still don't know you. That's the example we see of Philip. In verse 9 of our text, John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus was like, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? This is after 3 years of discipleship. After 3 years of discipleship, you know, there are some people, these ones that are hanging around pastor, they should know every... No. It doesn't go to follow. Because when information, when instructions are given, it leaves you with two choices. Maybe three, but basically two. To do or not to do. The third choice that you can put as maybe a choice is to make excuses. I was going to do it, and then it rained. In fact, I was on my way, then I had a flat tire. Some people, all they have is excuses. So, Philip spent time with him, but Philip didn't know him. Philip didn't know him. He thought he did. So, the fact that I have been in church a long time is not a good trajectory for my knowledge of God. Oh, at this Salvation Center, we started this together. This is our church. There's nothing. It doesn't mean I know him. And guess what? The only important thing in all of this is our relationship with him, our knowledge of him. Amen? That's number one. Number two, how can I know God? The number one way to know God is very, very simple. It's having a relationship with him. Number two way to know him is by spending time with him. Spending time with him. And this is interesting. When I spend time with him, what do I do? How do I spend time with him? When my wife and I are spending time together, you know, she has a knack for just making me, leaving my mouth open and me unable to close my mouth. She likes awe and shock. Shock and awe. You know, I forgot the trip I went for 1 year. I think Kashina was part of the cool planners. You know, I came and I entered my room and I stopped. And as we were coming back from Mexico, that was the video we were watching. You know, my mouth was open, I kid you not, for about 2 minutes because I couldn't take it in. The whole place was transformed. She got some people, Kashina and some other people, they changed the paint color in my bedroom. They moved the furniture around. She bought new furniture. I entered, it was a complete room makeover. So my mouth was like, I was just... As I was watching that, I didn't know God was trying to speak to me that there's another mouth opening competition that is waiting for me at home. Because when I got home from Mexico, my mouth went. What happened here? You know, and yesterday we just sat down on the patio in our house, and we just sat there and we're just talking. We're just talking. We're having a conversation. We're not talking about this or that. We're just talking. We're just talking. Just talking. Just hanging out. Just talking. That is how you get to know each other, by spending time together. Spending time together in his word. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So when I engage scriptures, guess what? I'm going to know something about him. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word itself is God. So when I read the scriptures, guess what? I'm reading about Him. When you want to know about somebody that lived way before you were born, and they happen to write a biography about him, guess what? Pick up that biography, you will know one or two things about the person. When we engage his word, we will know him better. In Revelations 19 and 13, the Bible says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. If you want to know him, read his word. The word is the biography about Jesus. Even from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's all about him. It's all about him. Spend time with him. Number one way to know him is what? Have a relationship with him. Have a connection. Have a relationship. Now that you have a relationship, number two, you must spend time with him in his word and in prayer. In prayer. It's amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, remember, John 1:1 told us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God. When Jesus was here on earth, guess what? Every morning, he rose up to pray. Some other times, he prayed all night. The Bible says in Mark 1:35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He went and spent time in prayer to be in communion with the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. When you spend time with him in prayer like that, you will get to know him. You will get to know him. Because as you are, prayer is a two-way communication. As you are speaking to him, he will talk back to you. He will begin to give you insights into things that you have no clue about. And he reveals himself to you in the place of prayer. Still under spending time with him, you spend time with him in worship. You spend time with him in worship. You know, when you worship the Lord, it's good what we do in church. But I pray and I pray, I sincerely pray and hope that you have a personal worship life. That the only time you sing and worship the Lord is not when you just come to church. And you know how I know this? If it is difficult for you to worship when there is no music backup, you probably don't have a personal worship life. Because who plays keyboard for you in your bedroom? Who plays the drum when you are worshiping in your bedroom? You know, so it's good that we have all these accompaniments in church. You know, and when it's not playing right or the sound is not coming right, we are complaining. Ah, sound was bad. I mean, everything was just bad. The choir didn't prepare. Maybe they didn't even pray. If you have a personal worship life, any disorganization there will not disturb you. If there is no keyboardist and there is no drummer, you should be able to worship the Lord. The Bible says when Jesus entered into the boat of Peter in Luke chapter 5, you know, and after they had the great catch, go and read the scripture. What did Peter do? The Bible says he bowed down and he worshipped him. I said, I'm an unclean man. I don't deserve to be with you. Jesus said, no, the fact that you worshipped, I will take you to be one of mine. So Jesus took him along and began to reveal himself to him. The more you spend time in worship, the more of himself he will reveal unto you. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. It means when I worship him, he will come and engage with me in the place of worship. The Bible says when they were dedicating the temple, as they praised and worshipped in one accord, the Bible says the presence of God that was in that place was so heavy, no man could stand. God came and tabernacled with them. Knowing God, if you want to know him, you must spend time with him. It cannot be when you just come to church on Sunday that whatever we do here, you are waiting for the next dose on Sunday. It will not work. It has never worked. It's not about to work. Sunday, Sunday, that I pray. Number three. So number one is develop a relationship. Number two, spend time with him in prayer, in worship, and in his word. Number three, the Holy Spirit will reveal him to us. The Bible clearly tells us that no man can say Jesus is Lord if the Spirit has not enabled them. Praise the Lord. I want to conclude very quickly here because of our time. In conclusion, listen, the knowledge of Jesus Christ is made manifest in us by our obedience. Anyone that claims to know God, one of the ways we are going to be able to identify your knowledge of God is in the area of obedience. Let me read the scripture to you very quickly, and then we'll rise up and play and pray and close. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3 to 6. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. Say, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, now we know that we know him if we keep his commandment. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar. So the next time you see somebody that says, I know God, and their lives does not reflect God, they are living in sin, tell them the Bible says you are a liar. The Bible says you are a liar. He said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Friends, if you are not obedient to his word, you don't know him. It's obvious. It's apparent. And because God is a God of order, how many people woke up this morning and shook hands with Jesus? I say, hello, sir. Hello, my Lord. No. God has instituted authority to represent him. So, one of the ways that we know him is when you are in submission to the authority that God has placed over you and the authority to which you have submitted yourself. So, he that does not keep the word cannot claim that he knows him. Let's rise to our feet. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, fill me till I for just 1 minute, I want you to pray and say, Lord, purge me. Purge me of every fluff I have added to your word. Everything I have added to make a complete image that is not really of you. Father, purge me. Jehovah, purge me. King of glory, purge me. Cleanse me, O Lord. Cleanse me, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Pray, brethren, that the Lord will purge you. Because there are many things that we have adopted that is not of Him. There are many lies that we have told ourselves that is not the truth. Say, Father, purge me. Jehovah, purge me in the name of Jesus. Lord, that I may know you. Jehovah, that I may know you in the name of Jesus. I want to know you, Lord. Fill me afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh with your love. Fill me afresh in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want us to lift up both hands to heaven this morning. It's a mark of surrender. It's a mark of surrender. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this afternoon we surrender all unto you. Lord, we yield ourselves totally, totally unto you, O God. Lord, every breath, every thought, every imagination, Lord, we yield unto you, O God. Lord, in every way we have sinned against you, Lord, we ask for your mercy this afternoon. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus upon your people and upon myself, that Lord, you will purge us and you will make us whole again. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we desire to know you, to know the real God, the real Jesus, the true God, the one and only true and living God. Daddy, please make yourself known unto us. Reveal yourself unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, give us the grace to engage in your word, to engage in communion, in prayer, even Lord, to engage in worship in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.